Very pleased to have our CFL insider, Arash Madani, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Hello, Mr. Madani. Do you have a treatable form of World Cup of Hockey fever, or are you okay?
No, I'm okay.
You're all right? You're all right?
Quite fine and dandy, thank
okay.
you.
You know me, I'm always...
I had a nice dose of football to watch yesterday. There's a pennant race going on with a baseball team I know, so...
So you're
the
okay.
The fever with September hockey hasn't quite gripped me.
All right. Fair enough. No problem. Boy, you and I have some juicy stuff to talk about this week, and none more so, I think, than Montreal. Let's start there. We've been watching the Alouettes kind of implode upon themselves all year. You've been talking about Jim Popp. It finally came to a head this week.
Yeah, it did, and it was a ticking time bomb, not just this year, but anybody you've talked to since Popp took over as coach, they told you exactly that. They were waiting for it to fall apart. Popp had taken over as head coach four times. In his heart of hearts, believe that he could be the guy to turn around that franchise. And then it became really apparent, Rob, that it was over, that the end was there and now. Matter of fact, his final game ever, his sister was on the sideline. His sister was there in the locker room. It was an emotional Pop. I was told by people in that locker room that Pop told them, hey, I don't care how we do it. We just want to win this game by more than one point than the other team. Afterwards, it was Cavis Reed, the assistant head coach, who gave the game ball to Pop in defeat. That never happens in sport, never happens in amateur football, that never happens in pro football. So you knew something was coming, and then it did over the weekend. The surprise was that Jacques Chastelain was the one, not Cavis Reed,
yeah,
who became the head coach. There was another assistant coach there, Noel Thorpe. But Noel was the one who wanted to bolt for Edmonton, so he wasn't getting the interim head coaching title. So the dysfunction and the mess continues in Montreal. Pop's still the GM for how much longer? Who knows? I have to think it's weeks, not months, and his contract's up at the end of next year. So the soap opera continues, and the story is only beginning. It hasn't come to its conclusion, not by a long shot.
Well, two different directions I want to go out of that. One, just talking about that ceremony and the unprecedented step of giving somebody a game ball after a loss, was that emotional feeling, and certainly Cavis Reed did it for a reason, was that reciprocated by the players? What was that relationship like between Pop and the players by the end?
Not good. Not good. There have been talks of, you know, Pop telling, he threatened them, he tried everything. It's almost like being a coach, like being a teacher, a parent, and... You know, he tried everything to get them going, and it just wasn't there. And, you know, here's what's interesting, guys, is, you know, when we talk about the dysfunction, it's not just because the quarterback is getting into fights with receivers and being escorted out of the place, or that the head coach is then unceremoniously dismissed, but he's still going to stay on as GM. Now you have Jacques Chastelain as the offensive coordinator. Sorry, as the head coach. The offensive coordinator is Anthony Calvillo. They run two different offenses. Chuck's been an offensive coordinator in BC and Edmonton. He's been around in Saskatchewan. His offense isn't what AC runs. AC effectively runs a variation off Mark Trestman's offense, what Scott Milanovich runs over there in Toronto. And so now the head guy is going to come in, and will he start putting his own schemes and systems in that are different than what the offensive coordinator's done for, you know, the last few months? Or not. And I spoke with a quarterbacks coach in the league this week. He said, you know, who knows Chastelain, has worked with Chastelain, worked for Chastelain. He said, you know, Jacques wants to run his stuff. So, it with, you know, Montreal officially, I guess, is still in the playoff picture. They're 3-9. Mm-hmm. Toronto's 5-7. Ottawa only has 5 wins. It's the CFL. Presumably anything can happen. But Jacques Chastelain, I'm told, is no fan of Rakeem Cato. And the CFL trade deadline is, you know, a couple of weeks away. Is Montreal, you know, are they willing to go try and find a quarterback? They did last year, trying to bring Kevin Glenn in, hoping that would turn things around. It didn't. They missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And how interested is Jim Popp in saving this season as the GM?
Well, if they were to do that, is there a name out there? I mean, Drew Willey's already been traded. Is there somebody else we're looking at?
Well, there's a gentleman who wears number 4 in the green and white.
Okay.
Right?
Really? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, no, I'm not.
No.
Who's available? He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yep.
He's on a 2-10 football team. And would Saskatchewan be willing to part ways with him if you're going to get something in return? The
right.
question is, does the end justify the means there? Kevin Glenn was just traded from Montreal to Winnipeg for a fourth-round pick. Okay? If you're going to go get another quarterback for three fewer weeks of work, what does that cost you? A fifth? Maybe? Let's
Maybe.
Even say a fourth. Is
yep.
trading Darian Durant for a fourth-round pick worth it in terms of alienating your fan base even further? And what's the long-term plan of Darian Durant in Saskatchewan? The Riders have said, Chris Jones has publicly said they've begun contract talks. I'm told that it was a low-ball offer, but it was an initial offer. Durant wants to stay there. He wants to be the guy long-term. But ultimately, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders' interest is in James Franklin, the backup to Mike Riley in Edmonton right now. What we don't know yet, and it's hard to get an answer right now out of anybody, is whether Franklin's a free agent at the end of the year or if the Riders are going to have to trade for him. We don't know if Franklin signed a two-year contract or a two-year plus a team option. So either way, the Riders want James Franklin to be their quarterback next year. They say they want Darian Durant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can have both, but if you're Montreal, how, you know, and Durant worked with Chapdelaine in Saskatchewan, so he would know his offense too. It's really intriguing how this thing is going to play out for, here we are, you know, the CFL is going yeah. on. We're talking about what a 3-win team and a 2-win team are going to do when we're a dozen games into the season. But one of them, you know, whatever move happens, could very well change the fortunes of the quarterback situation in Regina.
Arash Madani, our CFL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Just before I leave Saskatchewan, it's safe to say, though, that Chris Jones is going to be patient. There's no, you know, knee-jerk reaction for Saskatchewan. They are what they are at 2-10.
Well, Chris Jones has run training camp in Regina since he took over. First thing he did was cut basically half the players from last year. Then he brought in a litany of guys, and they're basically running an extended training camp all season. Now, as Justin Dunk reported, it was an extended training camp, all right. They kept guys who weren't even under contract around. I was even told that they had more than 20 quarterbacks who have been in and out of camp, in and out of that organization since back in the spring. But they're just looking and saying, okay, who's going to be part of this next year and who's not? And from a business standpoint, you're saying, okay, well, a 2-win football team and all this turmoil, you know, this can't be good for business. Here's the thing, guys. This is the last year of Mosaic Stadium. This week, Hamilton comes to town. They're going to sell that thing out for a 2-win football team because it's the anniversary of the 2007 Grey Cup and Ken Austin's
yep.
return. They have one game left against Montreal. How juicy would it be if Durant now went by then, by the way? And then the last game of the year is the final game ever at Mosaic Stadium. That's going to be a sellout. That's going to sell a ton of merch. And then you're moving into a new park next year in Regina, where Saskatchewan's going to sell out every game next year too. So all of this turmoil, all of this losing, all of these distractions, all of this negativity is not really affecting the bottom line and the business operations of things. Okay, people, you know, and listen, you guys know this as
yep.
sports radio hosts. Having people angry, having people passionate, having people care, having people pissed off is better than having them apathetic. It's better
Absolutely.
Than just, you know, if it's boring.
Yep.
And
yep.
things certainly haven't been boring in Saskatchewan.
Let's focus in on what clearly is the marquee matchup of this week, and I suppose somewhat surprising to me, Raj. If you told me at the beginning of the year, Rob, would you know, here we would be at the end of September and Winnipeg and Calgary would be the marquee matchup, I would have laughed at you. Not from Calgary, but certainly from Winnipeg. 7 wins in a row for the Blue Bombers, 9 for the Stampeders. This is a pretty cool matchup.
Oh, it's an outstanding matchup. I mean, this is, you know, to start the final third of the schedule, it's the showdown. It's the marquee matchup of the season. Forget Labor Day. Forget Thanksgiving, what's coming up. This is it. This has all of it. Now, Winnipeg has taken care of their business, but there haven't been signature wins there. There hasn't been, you know, they've knocked off Toronto, and good for them for doing that. They rolled off 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to get that win over the Argos. But if they are to beat the Stampeders, and I don't see it happening, and neither do the Vegas odds makers, Calgary's a 9.5-point favorite, that's the statement game. That's the one that really will jump off the page. You can only beat who you play and how you play them. The Winnipeg's knocked off Hamilton without Zach Collaros. They have a nice win against Edmonton. We're going to find out in this game. This is a measuring stick game. And we're going to find out exactly what they're made of. And I'm intrigued to see what we see from the Bombers, what we see out of Matt Nichols. And, guys, how long have you been seeing this? 3 years now. These are the games Bo Levi Mitchell loves. Yeah. Yeah. These are the games where he just, you know, shines. And against a dude who showed him around on his recruiting trip at Eastern Washington University, against a guy he's known since his college days, you know Bo wants this one. You know this is circled on his calendar, maybe even more than the Winnipeg players, too.
Arash, help me out with the error of my ways. When Drew Willey was pulled and Matt Nichols was installed as the starter, I scoffed and said, well, this won't work. We've seen Matt Nichols. We saw him enough, you know, replacing Mike Riley in Edmonton when he was hurt, that he's a nice guy, he's a good guy, but he can't get it done. What did I miss on Nichols? Why has he been successful in this position?
Well, let's remember, football's a lot of things. It's not just the guy throwing the football. It's what you have around him. It's, you know, what the situation is. You know, how good is the defense playing? How good is the special teams playing? You know, how good is the offensive line playing? Are your receivers making plays? But Matt Nichols is, you know, the easy answer and the simple answer is Matt Nichols isn't turning over the football. If you play error-free football, you're going to succeed. Look at the ball game last night. The Texans coughed up the football three times. The Patriots, zero. New England scored on each of those turnovers. 27-0, final score. And if ball security is such an important part of this deal, and Nichols has been very good that way, their offensive line's gotten a lot better. You know, it took a little while for a veteran group to gel. Paul Lapolis has come in as the offensive coordinator. Again, he studied under Scott Milanovich. They put together a pretty sophisticated offensive system. Maybe they would have had similar success with Drew Willey if they'd stayed patient with him. But once you get, you know, there's a confidence thing too. Once a quarterback gets rolling, there sometimes can be no looking back. And that seems to be the case over there right now with Winnipeg, with Matt Nichols under center.
And then the other part of that is, you know, this is a game that you can get a little bit overwhelmed by the numbers, or maybe they're a little bit lost, you know, leaderish in some point. But the takeaways by the Bombers is incredible. I mean, their defense is just not even close. Why? Why is that defense so good at getting that ball back?
Yeah, I mean, Richie, here's what I like about what they've done over there. First of all, they've been real patient. And it's been a real steady approach from their head coach. You know, Mike O'Shea comes into this season, and he's a lame duck guy in the final year of his contract who hasn't made the playoffs, and they start 1-4, and nothing changed. Nothing changed going into week one, that changed into week five, that's changed into week 12. And when you have a guy who's steady Eddie and calm and, you know, sticks to the process, you don't have somebody who's fluctuating up and down and all over the place. You know, it's basically everybody knows exactly what they're expecting coming into it. And I was speaking with Jamal Westerman, you know, they're outstanding, rush end. And one thing Westerman told me, he said, you know, they win the emotional game over Toronto. They make it 7 in a row. And they came in the next day for a rundown in meetings. And then the following day, they were off. On Monday, they were off. So O'Shea basically had them on Sunday. And then, you know, the team was going on a break. So what was the impassioned speech from their head coach? He said, okay, guys, real quick here. What we've done is great. But we just have to continue to study. Watch some film tomorrow on your day off, okay? I mean, it was nothing different. It was nothing new. It was, you know, it was, let's just stay this course. We believe in what we're doing. And when you have that unwavering tone, when you have a steady approach, suddenly, you know, you won't have guys all over the place and bouncing off the walls and up one day and down the next. It's almost like a baseball approach that they've taken, that every day is going to be the same. And there are going to be no surprises. We're all professionals here. You know exactly what to expect. And when that kind of, when that attitude sinks in and trickles around the locker room, you can get success. And the Bombers have had some success.
Great stuff, Arash, as always. Appreciate this, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, Rob. Thanks, man.
Arash Madani from Sportsnet, our CFL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. South Street Burger, satisfy your craving for a flame grill burger with fresh-cut fries. Visit their new location now, open East Hill, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail.